choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio, and we are always thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. You know, on these sessions of Abounding Grace, we love to interact with contemporary Christian issues, church life, doctrinal issues, and we are continuing today our discussion on the theology of worship. And I have Pastor Mike Brown here with me, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. And I want to begin today, Mike, by interacting with something that John Calvin said years ago. And, you know, the thing that Calvin said was the most important thing to reform in the days of the Reformation. Of all things, he said, it is worship. And, you know, I believe that's just as true today as back then. This is the thing that needs the most reformation today. This is what we need to be thinking a lot about today, of what worship is. Calvin said this: I know how difficult it is to persuade the world that God disapproves of all modes of worship not expressly sanctioned by his word. The opposite persuasion, which cleaves to them, being seated, as it were, in their very bones and marrow, is that whatever they do has in itself a sufficient sanction, provided it exhibits some kind of zeal for the honor of God. But since God not only regards as fruitless, but also plainly abominates whatever we undertake from zeal to his worship, if at variance with his command, what do we gain by a contrary course? The words of God are clear and distinct. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, Mike, that's Romans 10, where Romans 10 says that the Jews had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Isn't that just the case today for worship? People are sincere, but it's not according to what the Lord has spoken in his word.
Well, that's correct. As Calvin also said, the human heart is an idol factory. And we can see from Scripture, going all the way back to the fall, really, how we want to worship God in ways that we design. We think of Nadab and Abihu and how they put strange fire and approached the Lord as priests in a way that he had not commanded. And we know the sad outcome of them. God caused fire to come down and consumed them, which is really the language, it seems, that the writer to the Hebrews is picking up on when he addresses us in the new covenant, those who are in Jesus Christ, those who are not under the Mosaic covenant anymore, when he says, now you worship God with offer acceptable worship to God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So it's very important that we approach God in the way that he has commanded.
You know, this raises a really important point, because I can already hear the objection to that statement, and it's a common one. It's one we need to engage, but you know, we tend to look at the Old Testament as full of laws and rules and very stringent commands about worship. But then we think today, Mike, that when we come to the New Testament, it's a free-for-all, that we can do whatever we want, whatever our hearts, since we're now in the Spirit, we don't worship, you know, on this mountain or that mountain, that's always quoted, that we have complete liberty in worship. And, you know, maybe this is a way to kind of engage that, but we wouldn't just do that anywhere. I played college ball, and, you know, my coach was always really concerned about recruiting. Can you imagine if he, trying to get the 7-footer into the program, said, hey, you can come on into the program. We're not going to speak to you about what you need to do. we're going to let you dictate to us how you want to play the game. We're going to let you dictate, you know, how practices are going to be run. You no longer have the game of basketball. And I think that might be helpful to engage this. Has God given us a free-for-all, or has God specifically commanded us? And why are those commands so important? I mean, that's where we want to go with this today.
That's a great question to bring up. And the reason why those commands are so important is because God knows what it is we need. And this is how Protestants have understood the second commandment. When we think of the Ten Commandments, for example, the Heidelberg Catechism, okay, written in 1563, it asks, what is God's will for us in the second commandment? Okay, what is God's will for us now in the new covenant in the second commandment? Answer, that we in no way make any image of God, nor worship him in any other way than he has commanded in his word. Now, the reason we're bringing this stuff up, Chris, is not because you and I are, a couple cranky guys that want everyone to follow rules, and we got to have rules, and we don't want anyone to be happy in worship. That's not the case at all. You know, we love to laugh. We love to express joy to the Lord as well in the worship service. But I think what we're both saying here is that we need to be very cautious when we worship the Lord, as we see how God has revealed himself in Scripture, because he is the Creator. He is holy. And that means that he regulates worship. He's the one who says in his word how we are to worship, and he sets that forth. So when we see the New Covenant Church birthed there at Pentecost, we see how they worshiped. What is it that they did? After Peter stands up and he preaches that great redemptive historical sermon about how Jesus of Nazareth is risen from the dead and is the promised Christ, and then people believed on him and they were baptized into the church, we read there in Acts 2:42 how they continued steadfastly in apostolic doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, which is basically New Testament code for the sacraments, and the prayers. So God sets forth his word, the preaching of his word, apostolic doctrine, which is in the preaching every week of Scripture, him telling us what we need and what we need to grow in, that our minds are being filled with the knowledge of the Lord, that our hearts are having the word indwell in them, Christ being formed in us, the sacraments, which is a visible confirmation of God's promise, a visible sign attesting to what he has done. And then we respond to him in prayer and song, which is another form of prayer. So there's this great conversation that happens in the worship service. God speaking to us in word and sacrament, us responding to him in prayer and song.
I want to respond to a couple things there, Mike. I think this is really helpful, and especially because, you know, why do we need God to regulate worship for us? It's a really important question because, as the Reformers understood, our hearts are idol factories. We are constantly creating idols. We're constantly going in a direction that creates things that offend God. And we don't want to do that. And so, you know, I think it's really important, as you said, Mike, you know, what we do is the greatest freedom. It is the greatest freedom to worship God as he has outlined for us in his word. Why? Why do we want to do that? Well, I want you to think about this for a minute. When Jesus came upon the religious community of his day, what were the religious leaders doing? They were actually imposing upon the people their own superimposed ideas and their superimposed laws over the Bible. And of course, that's where we get into legalism. So, you know, what some people think of legalism isn't legalism. Legalism here was they were superimposing their rules over the Bible and binding men's consciences to honor those things. Well, that's what happened in Matthew 15. Remember, they criticized Jesus' disciples and the tradition, right? Because what? They did not wash their hands when they ate bread. So there, the religious leaders were imposing things upon them. And what did Jesus say? These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So here's the issue. The leaders were imposing things upon the people in worship that God had not commanded. And that's where everything ran amok. So we're concerned today when the leaders are imposing upon the people their own ideas of how to approach God, their own rules, their own dramas, their own productions, and they're actually binding the consciences of the simple when God has given us a very simple, clear way forward in how to worship him. It's a really important point, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think one of the biggest reasons it's so important is because God wants to nourish us in the worship service. Again, this isn't merely about, well, we got to follow rules now. Obviously, it's very important to follow God's rules, and bad things happen to people when they don't. But the thing we have to see overall is that God has determined a way to reveal himself to us and to nourish our souls. And we need to follow that. Anything short of that, any man-made regulation or man-made way of worshiping God is really junk food for the soul. And listen to what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 55. He says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast sure love for David." You know, what we see there is God telling us how he wants to feed and nourish our souls. Just as we need to eat and be nourished and fed for the body, well, we also need it for the soul. And what he has designed is his word and his sacrament that is so rich.
Right. And just to kind of summarize here so far, you know, this is a really important point. I think today, Mike, people equate legalism with obedience. And that's not legalism. Honoring God's commands out of gratitude because we're so overwhelmed by the grace that he's given to us is our reasonable service. But legalism is imposing man-made commands upon us that God has not commanded, and then binding the consciences of men in that. So it's really important to say that. And that's why what Mike just touched on is really important. God is protecting us in worship. Mm-hmm. You know, God is protecting us. You know, Psalm 50 talks about, you know, "You who draw near to me, guard your ways, lest I tear you in pieces." And the point is that when we trample his holiness and don't listen, it's a danger zone. Worship is a danger zone. And I think we forget that today. You know, we see worship as a playground. We see worship as a carnival, and that's not what it is. And, you know, Colossians warned about that. New Testament passage, Colossians 2. He talks about worship. He talks about the Colossian church getting into all sorts of weird angel worship and strange stuff and going back to the Old Testament laws and sacrificial system, all that stuff they were imposing upon them. And you know what Paul says there? "These things have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed worship, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." That's a really powerful verse, because he's saying there is self-imposed worship. And you see what we're trying to say today on Abounding Grace is God loves his people so much. As he calls them and summons them into his presence, he's protecting them and guiding them and leading them, as Mike said, so that we would be nourished on the good words of faith and the doctrine which we've carefully followed, and be fed with his means to strengthen our faith.
Right, and what is it that strengthens us but Jesus Christ, the bread of life? And so really the question we have to ask is, are we hearing Christ in the worship service? Everything that we receive from the Lord, the Word of Christ.
Well, we're thankful that you've taken the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace. We'll come back to this discussion tomorrow. But if you would like to learn more about who we are and what we believe, you can go to our website at agradio.org. All these resources, podcasts are there for you for download. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732. Linden, Washington, 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.